But I'm going to give you time to look it up in your Bible or on your phone, but it is 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 this morning as we continue our series on Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10, we're reading together in verse 1. Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "The Lord has anointed you ruler over his people Israel. You shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you shall save them from the hand of their enemies all around. Now this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you ruler over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. They will say to you, 'The donkeys that you went to seek are found. And now your father has stopped worrying about them and is worrying about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on from there further and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from them. After that, you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, at the place where the Philistine garrison is. There, as you come to the town, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the shrine with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre playing in front of them. They will be in a prophetic frenzy. Then the Spirit of the Lord will possess you, and you will be in a prophetic frenzy along with them and be turned into a different person. Now, when you see these signs meet you, do whatever you see fit to do, for God is with you. And you shall go down to Gilgal ahead of me. Then I will come down to you to present burnt offerings and offer sacrifices of well-being. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do." As he turned away to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. My uncle was career Air Force and at one time was stationed in Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. One summer, my parents went there on vacation, and while we were visiting, my Uncle Tommy took us to the fair. There was a fortune teller tent there, and very surprising, my dad gave my brother and I the money to go into the fortune teller tent and to have our fortune told. We went one at a time alone. My brother went first, followed by me. I don't know how accurate she was. She took my palm and ran her finger over it and said that I had a long lifeline, but she did not mention that I would one day be bald. The prophet Samuel has anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel, ushering in a new day and a new paradigm for the nation of Israel. Saul has already indicated to Samuel that he feels inadequate for this new assignment because he tells Samuel in chapter 9, verse 21, "I am only a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel, and my family is the humblest of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then have you spoken to me in this way?" To encourage Saul in his time of trepidation, Samuel tells him three events that will unfold that very day. And as the day unfolds, Saul learns three lessons about God that I believe are applicable to us today. The first lesson that Saul learns is this: God is a God of detail. God is a God of detail. Samuel prophesies in great detail to Saul about the upcoming events in his life. We read it in chapter 10, verse 2. "When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, "What shall I do about my son?"'" Then in verses 3 and 4, "Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to worship God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them." And then in verses 5 and 6, "After that you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, timbrels, harps, and pipes being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into another person. I want you to notice the attention to detail. In verse 2, Samuel tells Saul, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb. Not a group of men, not some men, not in any place, two men near Rachel's tomb. And he even tells Saul what they're going to tell him. He tells Saul, they're going to confirm to you that your dad's donkeys have been found, and now your dad is worried about you. And then in verses 3 and 4, at the great tree at Tabor, you will see three men on their way to worship. He tells Saul the exact place, not by any tree, not by a group of trees, by the great tree at Tabor. Not just you'll see a group of men, you'll see three men. And he even tells Saul what they will be carrying. One will be carrying three young goats. One will be carrying three loaves of bread. One will be carrying a skin of wine. And then he tells Saul, they're going to give you two loaves of bread. Take them. And then in verses 5 and 6, he says, when you get to Gibeah, you're going to become part of a worship service. There's going to be a procession of prophets playing instruments. And Samuel does not just tell Saul, you're going to meet a band. He tells them, you're going to meet a group of prophets playing instruments, and he even tells them what they will be playing. They'll be playing lyres, timbrels, pipes, and harps. Here's the thing you and I need to hear today, that God knows the details of your life. God knows the details of your life. He knows what you need and when you need it, what you fear and how to face it, where you are and where you're going. He sees your family, your finances, your health, your home, your future. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, and then verses 31 and 32. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And now notice this next part, the next nine words. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knew the exact place to have a ram caught in a thicket so Abraham and Isaac could see it. He knew the precise bush to set on fire in order for Moses to see it. He knew the exact moment the wedding feast would run out of wine. He knew where to congregate the fish for Peter's net. He knew the exact tree for Zacchaeus to climb in. God knows the details of your life. The second thing that Saul learned is this: God's storehouse is unlimited. God's storehouse is unlimited. Saul had no natural means to provide for his needs for the remainder of the day. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, when his servant says to Saul, let's go find Samuel, he'll tell us where the donkeys are. Saul says this to his servant, if we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have? It reminds me of what Andrew said to Jesus when he found the little boy with five loaves and two fishes. Andrew said this to Jesus, there is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two fish. But then he asked Jesus this question, but what are they among so many people? God would provide what Saul did not have. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 3, then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to worship God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. Here's the lesson that Saul had to learn, which you and I need to remember today, and it is this. When God has access to your heart, you have access to His possessions. When God has access to your heart, you have access to His possessions, to His provision. It's a lesson that others have learned. David said this in Psalm 50, verse 10, "For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." John chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said to them, speaking to his disciples out in the boat fishing, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Paul said this in Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God will supply all your need according to his riches by Christ in Christ Jesus, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The third thing that Saul learned that day that is relevant to you and I this morning is this: God reveals new hearts in new seasons. God reveals new hearts in new seasons. For this new season of his life, Saul desperately needed a new heart. And Samuel records this in chapter 10 and verse 9. "As he turned away to leave Samuel, God gave Saul another heart." Of all the events of his day, the three places that Saul would stop, the three events that would unfold before him, the men that he would see, the gifts that he would be given, this comes to my very favorite one. Verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. "After that you shall come to Gibeath Elohim at the place where the Philistine garrison is. There, as you come to the town, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the shrine with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre playing in front of them. They will be in a prophetic frenzy." Listen to Samuel's description of where Saul will go on the third place that he'll go on this journey. The place of the Philistine garrison. You have to remember, the Philistines were Israel's enemies. They had been Israel's enemies. They had dominated the Israelites. They had subjected them. They had stolen their crops. They had stolen from them. The Israelites were living under the thumb of the Philistines at this time. And Samuel says to Saul, "When you get to the place where the Philistine garrison is, where they have built a fort, where they are firmly entrenched, you're going to run into a group of people that are worshiping and praising God." In my mind, that's no place to have a worship service. That's the place to just quietly go about your business. You don't want to create a ruckus. You don't want to create any attention to yourself because you're in the garrison, the stronghold, the very fort of your enemies. But this is the very place that God broke out in a worship and a praise service. This is the God who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Psalm 23, verse 5, David said, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Job said this in chapter 13, verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him." Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Acts chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Acts 16 tells the story of Paul and Silas going to the town of Philippi, and they are cast into prison after being beaten. But we find these words in verses 24 and 25. "When he had received," speaking of the jailer, "when he had received these orders, he put Paul and Silas in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." Right now, you may feel like you're in the place where life and unfortunate events and sickness and disease has built a fortress, has built a garrison, has built a stronghold like the Philistines did. But this is the time to rejoice. This is the time to turn our attention upon the goodness of God. This is the time to keep our focus on the blessings of God, on the power of God. Saul was overwhelmed by this new season and this new assignment that had been thrust upon him. Like you and I, his normal had been turned upside down. But God offers us today what he offered Saul. As he turned away to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. That's my prayer for you today, a new heart. The heart of fear replaced by a heart of faith. The heart of worry replaced by a heart of rest. The heart of anxiety replaced by a heart of peace. The heart of lack and poverty replaced by the heart of contentment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we recognize and confess to you that we need a new heart. We have been bombarded, Father, the last 2 weeks with bad news. We have been bombarded, Father, the last 2 weeks with fear and anxiety and words of lack and words of depression. Father, we watch the news and we see the stock market fluctuate back and forth. We hear the economists talk to us about preparing for recession. We see the unemployment numbers, Father. We see the businesses closed in our own city. We hear of those who are sick. We read the reports daily, Father, of new cases and how many fatalities are there now. But Father, our trust and our hope and our confidence remains in you. Give us a new heart. Give us the heart of faith. Give us a renewed compassion. Give us renewed love and mercy for others. Give us patience, Father. Give us, Father, Lord, your heart, your eyes, your vision, your ears. May we be like Saul, Father, even in the place where the enemy is firmly encamped, even in the place where our Philistines have established a fort. May we, Lord, be turned into different people. And may we, Father, have a new heart. And may we join with all of heaven in lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.